Our text for today is Exodus 12, 14 through 27. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. This is a day to remember. Each year from generation to generation, you must celebrate it with as a special festival to the Lord. This is a law for all time. For 7 days, the bread you eat must be made without yeast. On the first day of the festival, remove every trace of yeast from your homes. Anyone who eats bread made with yeast during the 7 days of the festival will be cut off from the community of Israel. On the first day of the festival, and again on the seventh day, all the people must observe an official day for holy assembly. No work of any kind may be done on these days except in the preparation of food. Celebrate this festival of unleavened bread, for it will remind you that I brought your forces out of the land of Egypt on this very day. This festival will be a permanent law for you. Celebrate this day from generation to generation. The bread you eat must be made without yeast from the evening of the 14th day of the first month until the evening of the 21st day of that month. During those 7 days, there must be no trace of yeast in your homes. Anyone who eats anything made with yeast during this week will be cut off from the community of Israel. These regulations apply both to the foreigners living among you and to the native-born Israelites. During those days, you must not eat anything made with yeast. Wherever you live, eat only bread made without yeast. Then Moses called all the elders of Israel together and said to them, "Go pick out a lamb or young goat for each of your families and slaughter the Passover animal. Drain the blood into a basin, then take a bundle of hyssop branches and dip it into the blood. Brush the hyssop across the top and sides of the door frames of your houses, and no one may go out through the door until morning. For the Lord will pass through the land to strike down the Egyptians. But when he sees the blood on top and the sides of the door frame, the Lord will pass over your home. He will not permit his death angel to enter your house and strike you down. Remember, these instructions are a permanent law that you and your descendants must observe forever. When you enter the land the Lord has promised to give you, you will continue to observe this ceremony. Then your children will ask, 'What does this ceremony mean?' And you will reply, 'It is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord, for he passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt. And though he struck the Egyptians, he spared our families.'" When Moses had finished speaking, all the people bowed down to the ground and worshiped. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Will you pray with me and for me? Oh God, open your word to us this day and remove any obstacles from our hearing and from our receiving. Amen. Several years ago, while I was living in Chattanooga, it was probably the second or third year, I can't remember exactly, after Greg had passed away. And we had gotten together as my family sometime before Christmas and had decided not necessarily to get together as a family on Christmas, because when all of the siblings and I are in church work, well, that's not the easiest thing to do. So I was going to stay in Chattanooga for Christmas by myself. A friend called me from her family's in Greenville, the family that kind of took in, I've mentioned before, that took in all the strays. She lived in Fort Payne, Alabama, but was going to be up for Christmas. And she called and just asked what I was going to be doing for Christmas. And so I told her, well, I'm staying in Chattanooga. Well, Debbie wasn't hearing anything about that. That was not going to work. Now, keep in mind, Greenville and Kingsport aren't that far apart. But she insisted that I come up there to spend Christmas Day with them in Greenville and have a meal. In fact, they rearranged their schedule so I could do that. How could I not go when they had rearranged their Christmas plans? I went in and began kind of helping get the things ready as I typically did when I would go over to their house and just kind of always made myself at home. And I went into the dining area and I looked at the table and I thought, there's more plates here than we have people. And so I said something to Dorothy and she came in and she counted and she said, you know, you're right. And Dorothy began taking some of the place settings away. Then it came time for the meal and we all came in and we sat down. And lo and behold, if there still wasn't one place setting empty and one chair. And so I just kind of laughed and I said, I guess Greg's here after all. What happened after that was beautiful. Because all of a sudden, the family and some other friends that were there as well began sharing who they would like to have sitting in that chair that is no longer with us. And we enjoyed sharing those memories together. Today you heard a passage about remembering. Yes, it is about the Passover. But that first verse says, this is a day to remember. To remember. The Passover we celebrated this past spring was a remembering of the event that took place when the Israelites left Egypt. But it was also a remembering of all of those that were involved in that experience. All of those throughout history who have fought for freedom for the Jewish community. Many of us this coming season will be gathering around tables where there will be an empty chair. And for some, that is going to be extremely painful because it is fresh. But it too is a time to remember. A time to remember and to still celebrate those that are not with us because of the life that they lived before us and the love that they have shared with us, the legacy that they have invested in us. So to come together as family and friends around that table and to see that empty space, but to recognize that that empty space represents someone of importance and significance, someone we have loved, gives us an opportunity to welcome the memories of our dear departed saints. To welcome the telling of the story of those that are not with us any longer. Of how they have impacted our lives. To tell how maybe they were the ones that always carved the turkey, but they always got it wrong. They really didn't know how to carve the turkey, but they felt like that was their responsibility. And even if it's not a holiday meal, when you sit down at a table and you think about people that you used to sit next to. My dad, growing up, I used to hate shrimp. I love it now, but I used to hate shrimp. My dad was a shrimp fan. If he could get shrimp, he could eat shrimp. He could eat his weight in shrimp. But he hated to peel shrimp. Well, guess what I liked to do? I know that's weird, but I like to peel shrimp. So every time I eat shrimp, I can't help but think of sitting next to my dad peeling shrimp so he could eat shrimp. It brings back those memories, and it brings back my dad for a time. It brings back my dad for that moment. And so when we gather around the table, we are remembering. We are remembering those saints that have gone to that great cloud of witnesses who still are gathered with us today. As we were singing, I couldn't help the doxology. I just kind of couldn't help but get a little emotional because all of a sudden I could envision around this room all of those saints no longer with us. The names of those we called, the names of others listed in our bulletin, the names of those that that each of us hold in our heart, they're here with us this day, worshiping with us in glory as we worship around this table. And so we make room for them. We pull up a chair for them. We leave space for them so that they can come and sit with us. For those of you that were at the Passover meal last spring, you may recall that there is always a chair and a cup of wine that is left vacant. And that is for Elijah. And at some point during the Passover celebration, a child will go and they will open the door to welcome Elijah in. You may recall that Elijah was just taken up and no one knows exactly what happened. But the anticipation of Elijah coming again to tell us of the Messiah's imminent coming. And so that welcoming of Elijah to the table is a welcome of hope. A welcome of hope for the people. A welcome of hope for the people, especially the Israelites then and the Jewish community today, continuing to long for that freedom and that peace. That hope that Elijah brings of the Messiah. Jesus, as he was celebrating that Passover meal with his disciples, they too would have welcomed Elijah. But Jesus himself said, "Remember me." And so when we gather around this table today, we are remembering also Jesus the Christ. When we break the bread, we say, "Do this in remembrance of me." When we lift up the cup, we say, "Do this in remembrance of me." And so we have a vacant chair to welcome the presence of Christ in our midst. A time of remembering. A time of remembering. This morning, as we are celebrating our saints, I want to invite you just to call out, and don't be bashful, to call out loud the names of those that you would like to pull up a chair for as you gather around the table and to celebrate their memory. On the count of three, 1, 2, 3. Greg, my dad, my grandmother, Virgie. All of those people have a place at this table today. Your loved ones have a place at your table when you gather for birthdays, when you gather for Thanksgiving, when you gather for Christmas, for Easter, Mother's Day, Father's Day, whatever, barbecue, football games. Whenever you gather is an opportunity to invite the memories in, to offer hospitality to the memories, and to share in those memories because they are still with us. They are still with us in those memories. As I was looking over some things for today, I ran across this blog, and forgive me that I forgot to get the name of the person who wrote it, but I just want to share what she had written, and pardon me that it's a little long, but it is someone who celebrated the Passover, Jewish family, and she writes, "Passover was always Mike's favorite holiday. For a man who loved food, at first this surprised me, because while the table was lavishly set, there were so many food restrictions, the food was different. And the only thing he ate was meat and potatoes. He said my Passover brownies were better than the ones I made during the year. For me, all the cleaning, shopping, and cooking in the weeks leading up to Passover were exhausting. And I would joke that while Passover was the festival of freedom, by the time I sat down for the Seder, my head might fall in the soup from weariness. Mike would come home from work early to help set the table for our family and guest. He would put extenders in our dining room table so that 16 people could fit around it easily. He set up an assembly line with our kids, pulling the Passover fine china and crystal that once belonged to my parents out of the garage where they were stored all year long, along with other gifts from prior guests that brought back memories. Memories. By the time the table was set, it was festive and dazzling and fit for royalty. One place setting was different, though. When everyone was seated, we deliberately left an empty chair at the table. It was Elijah's chair. Jewish tradition teaches that Elijah the prophet will be the harbinger of the coming of the Messiah and the world's redemption. It is a chair of hope. When we sat down to begin telling the story of going out of Egypt, we raised the matzah and sang the words, "This is the bread of affliction that our ancestors ate in the land of Egypt. Let all who are hungry come and sit and eat. Let all who are in need come celebrate Passover. When it came time to tell the story of the four sons, Mike would tell it from his perspective of being one of the four boys, always pointing out with a mischievous grin that he was the wicked son. At the end of the Seder, when the children would run to the door to open it for Elijah to enter, Mike would then tell the same story year after year about his grandmother in the old country and how she opened the door for Elijah to enter, to find a stranger was standing there. They invited him in, and he sat in Elijah's chair, ate, drank, and without saying a word, went on his way. Every year, while our children were at the front door, Mike would tip some of the wine out of Elijah's cup, so that when they came back to the table, the kids would think that Elijah had come like some ghost and taken a sip of wine. Mike died the day before Passover in 2009 at the age of 55. I insisted on having a Passover Seder the next day for my kids and me. In shock, I did what I knew how to do, trying to keep some normalcy where there was none. When it came to the empty chair, however, now there were two. One for Elijah, and one that none of us could sit in because it was Mike's. I've since led many a Seder at that table, and two chairs remained empty. It has been 12 years now since Mike died, and this year I know that there are hundreds of thousands of families around the world who will be facing empty chairs. My heart goes out to them. And if I could tell them one thing, it would be that despite the things going on in the world, despite being a COVID long hauler, I am still here to tell Mike's stories. And just like Elijah's empty chair is one of hope, so too, my empty chair of loss has transformed into a second chair of hope. We are here still to tell the stories of our mics. And our empty chairs also, like the chair of Elijah, are chairs of hope. Because of this meal. Because in this meal, Jesus was preparing his disciple for his death, but also for his resurrection. And that is our hope. Our hope is that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, of which we will one day ourselves be a part. We have faith in that. And so we remember our loved ones who are in that great cloud with us today. When we break bread at our tables, wherever we are, whether it be at home or at the Burger King or wherever you eat, in a picnic table or a blanket spread on the ground, it is an opportunity to remember and to celebrate that empty chair that offers us hope. So today, at this table of remembrance, Let us join with our family members, our friends, no longer with us in body, but always with us in spirit. And we thank God for their chairs of hope. Let us pray. Lord, today so many of us eat in such a hurry that we don't take time to tell the stories of those no longer with us. But when we sit down at a table, they are present with us in spirit. And so we keep a chair open for them today to welcome their memory, to welcome the stories, to be reminded of the hope that is offered to us, the hope of the resurrection. Lord, for those who this year will be gathering around tables for the first time with an empty chair, we pray for comfort. But Lord, we pray also that they will find some way to honor their loved ones. An empty chair, a place setting, a candle lit at the table, and yes, the stories. For it is a day to remember. And we pray as we gather around this table that we will remember those who had a part in bringing us to where we are today. Those who planted seeds of faith in us that have been nurtured and watered by others and have grown into a beautiful bloom for you. For all the saints, Lord, we give you thanks. Amen.